Pray with me. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Bring your word to life and penetrate our hearts. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. If you want a window into the personal prayer life of Jesus, the Gospel of Luke is the place to begin. In Luke, we see that the Spirit came upon Jesus while he was praying, that Jesus often withdrew to quiet places to pray, and that he prayed before the significant turning points in his ministry. Luke paints us a picture of Jesus on his knees. So today, as we seek to learn to pray like Jesus, we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Turn with me there, whether in your own Bible or on the words projected here. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come, and I don't have any food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Prayer is communication with God, both speaking and listening. It is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. This communication with God is our calling and our responsibility as Christians. It requires no special religious language, but how it all works is a bit of a mystery. Prayer is certainly a very big topic, a topic we can't even begin to cover fully today. But if at the end of this service we are all encouraged in prayer, then I will have done my job. Too often, we tend to pray as the last resort. We've all heard the statement, "All we can do now is pray." But we are invited to make prayer our first priority. When we are especially busy and particularly stressed, then we need even more time in prayer. Reformer Martin Luther knew this. He wrote, "On a typical day, I am charged with a pastorate of 3 congregations. I teach regularly at the seminary. I have students living in my house. I am writing 3 books. Countless people write to me. When I start each day, therefore, I make it a point to spend an hour in prayer with God. But if I have a particularly busy day and am more rushed than usual, I make it a point to spend 2 hours with God before I start the day." Oh, that we would follow his example. And the example of Brother Lawrence, who learned to practice the presence of God and pray throughout the day. We too can be in constant conversation with God and allow God to permeate our day. Jesus did this. He regularly had times of quiet where he went apart to pray. And he also stayed in regular communication with God throughout the day in the midst of all that he was doing. Jesus is our example for prayer. He lived in total dependence on God, submitting to the will of the Father and relying on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. His was a life of constant prayer, constant communication with the Father. And the disciples saw this. As Jews, they were used to regular prayer 3 times throughout the day, set prayers that were memorized and then recited, with a shorter version that could be offered when time did not allow for the full prayer. But when they looked at Jesus' prayer life, they saw something different, something unique. So they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. This was the first time that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them anything, and they are right on in the asking. Teach us to pray. That's what they said. And the beautiful thing is, they did not even realize that their request was their first, and perhaps most important, prayer. We can bring Jesus this same request. Lord, teach us to pray. And we can learn. For prayer is something we grow in with practice. Wherever you are today, whether you're someone who's been having a regular time of prayer each day for years, or someone who is just beginning to learn to pray, or perhaps someone who's had an active prayer life but has fallen away from it, today, you are invited to start where you are and grow into something more. This sermon is an invitation. I do not want any guilt trips here. And I'm serious about this. I don't want you sitting here for the rest of my sermon beating yourself up about what has or has not been happening. And more importantly, that's not what God wants either. God longs to hear from us. God desires to be in relationship with us and to communicate with us. Whether it's been 2 hours, 2 days, or 2 years since the last time you've talked with him, he welcomes you with open arms. It's significant that Jesus didn't just teach his disciples, both then and now, a prayer to pray. He taught us how to pray. And he taught us to better understand the one to whom we pray. The same God who welcomes us with open arms hears and answers our prayers. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we have the same access to God that Jesus did. Through Christ, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. We are no longer called servants. We are now called friends of God, children in the household of God, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. And this is amazing news. We have direct access to God in prayer through Jesus Christ. We can pray as Jesus did. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a model. Here in Luke, it's a simpler, shorter prayer than the one in Matthew. And we'll look at it just briefly together today, but I commend you to further reflection upon this prayer and hope to examine it together again soon. Look at the prayer Jesus teaches. Father, he begins. We can join Jesus in calling God Father. The term here is actually Abba. A familiar term, a respectful version of daddy, meaning something like, dear father. We approach God as children, calling on our heavenly father. Hallowed be your name. We seek to praise God and bring God honor. Your kingdom come. We seek God's kingdom here on earth, which joins us with the primary mission of Jesus. In our prayers, we ask for things that will bring about his kingdom. Then we seek God for all our needs, daily provision, forgiveness, and protection. This prayer expresses a relationship of worship, honor, obedience, dependence, and trust. And this is the posture of prayer that Jesus teaches. He then goes on to teach us about the nature and character of the one to whom we pray. We are invited to pray with boldness and confidence, with persistence and constancy, and with the trust of a child, knowing we have the help of the Holy Spirit. First, we are invited to pray with boldness and confidence. If a friend will help you at midnight, when you have an unexpected guest, in a society where hospitality is paramount, and that is what is expected of him and what is needed to avoid shame, how much more will God answer our requests made in prayer? God is not to be compared to a sleepy, grumpy friend in the middle of the night. God is far more eager to answer than this friend. Jesus raises just one point of comparison. He is encouraging a kind of holy boldness, a sharp knocking on the door, an insistent asking, and a search that refuses to give up. The Greek word translated in our passage as shameless audacity implies a boldness that comes from familiarity. This is what we are invited to have with God, a boldness that comes from familiarity. We can be bold to offer our petitions to God. We can have confidence that God will keep his promises and that God will answer prayer. But we must ask. Zig Ziglar used to tell a story about a little boy who valiantly but futilely tried to move a heavy log to clear a pathway to his favorite hideout. His dad stood nearby and finally asked him why he wasn't using all his strength. The little guy assured his dad that he was using all his strength. He was straining with all his might. And his dad quietly told him he was not using all his strength because he hadn't asked him. He hadn't asked his dad for help. Like this young boy, we often fail to realize the power that is available to us. In her book, The Life That Wins, Matilda Andross writes, "Prayer is more powerful than habits, heredity, and natural tendencies. It can overcome all these. It is more powerful than the forces that hold the planets in place. Prayer, though it comes from the heart of an unlearned child of God, can suspend the laws of the universe, if such be God's will, just as the sun stood still when Joshua prayed. There is no other power on earth that the enemy of souls hates and fears as he does prayer. We are told that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Do we have confidence that God will answer our prayers? Jesus tells us that we can, and he invites us to pray with boldness and confidence. Second, we are invited to pray with persistence and constancy. The verb tense in verse 9 shows ongoing activity. We are to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. As 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, we are to pray without ceasing. Early African converts to Christianity were very committed to private devotions. Each one had a separate spot in the thicket where they would pour out their heart to God. And over time, the paths to these places in the thicket would become very well worn. As a result, if one of the believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." Let us not let the grass grow on our path. Let us pray continually and with persistence. For at every turn, we are promised a response. Those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. For those who knock, the door is opened. Jesus points to a God who is eager to hear and answer our prayers. Philip Brooks, a 19th century clergyman and author, said, "Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness." God is ever more eager to answer than we are to ask. Indeed, prayer is even more about God's goodness than it is about our persistence. Still, we are invited to ask and seek and knock. Third, we're invited to pray with the trust of a child. A child with a loving parent does not hesitate to come to them when they are in need of help. Jesus says that if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us good gifts? We can trust the goodness of the one to whom we pray. And our prayers flow out of our relationship with God. We can talk to Jesus like we're talking to a friend, sharing with him each and every need and concern. There's a popular story that illustrates this well. It goes like this. A man's daughter had asked the local pastor to come and pray with her father. When the pastor arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair beside the bed. The pastor assumed that the old fella had been informed that he was coming for a visit. I guess you were expecting me, he said. No, who are you? I'm the new associate at your local church, the pastor replied. When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up. Oh yeah, the chair, said the bedridden man. Would you mind closing the door? Puzzled, the pastor shut the door. I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter, said the man. But all of my life, I never knew how to pray. At church, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. I abandoned any attempt at prayer until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair. Place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus on the chair. It's not spooky, because he promised, I'll be with you always. Then just speak to him and listen in the same way you're doing with me right now. So I tried it, and I liked it so much that I do it a couple of hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm. The pastor was deeply moved at the story and encouraged the old man to continue on the journey. Then he prayed with him and returned to the church. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the pastor that her daddy had died that afternoon. Did he seem to die in peace, he asked. Yes, she said. When I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange, something very strange. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on the chair beside the bed. There's something quite touching about this story because it captures the intimacy we can have with Jesus. The way that we can talk with him like we're talking to a friend and trust that he is with us and he hears our prayer. Jesus assures us God is eager to hear our prayer. We can be confident in prayer because of the goodness of the one to whom we are praying. We can be bold to pray because God is more eager to answer than we are to pray. And we can trust that our Heavenly Father desires to give good gifts to his children, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Even in prayer, we are not left alone. God helps us and enables us to pray. The Spirit prays with us and for us, Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. As soon as we begin to pray, we can ask God to lead us and guide our time of prayer by the power of his Spirit. And the good news is, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. We do not pray alone. In prayer, as in all things in the journey of faith, we need God, and we have his Spirit's power. So we look to the example of Jesus in the way that we pray and in our confidence in the one to whom we pray. We can follow the pattern of Jesus in prayer because we have a relationship with the Father whose heart Jesus revealed. So friends, let's pray. Let's set apart time to pray with focus and devotion. Let's pray regularly and often throughout the day. Let's pray before we do anything else, and pray twice as long on busy and stressful days. Friends, pray, knowing that God is eager to hear from you, with confidence and boldness, persistence and constancy, and the trust of a child, looking to your heavenly Father, believing that God will give you the help of his Spirit, even as you pray. Lord, this is our prayer. Teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.